Hey, everybody, this is The Way We Nerd, and this is not the voice of Dan. This is Josh Moorhead, because this week we is just Kyle and I. It's a very intimate pod, so slip into something more comfortable and pour a glass of wine. Or, well, Kyle's drinking squirt, so that's not awkward at all.
I may just sit here and let Josh keep talking and see how long he goes.
Yeah, I could go for a while. You could just imagine where Potter and Dan are, because it might be more exciting than where
what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those who probably think that Stagecoach is exciting. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yes.
Somewhere.
Dan.
Not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. There should be a third weekend after Coachella and after Stagecoach that's just The Way We Nerd.
There you go. Like coach. Nerd Coach.
Yeah, Nerd Coach.
Nerd Coach.
Nerd Coach. People get turned for that.
Yeah.
I guess that's what Comic-Con is, but...
Yeah, but not really.
But
this would be like a nerd... This would be like a nerd music and podcast festival.
And drugs.
And drugs, of course. Yeah. Nerdy drugs, though. So it'd be like Spice and like Glitter Skim.
Yeah. Stagecoach must be so boring after Coachella, because at Coachella, everybody's doing like... drugs you've never heard of.
Right. And then, in Stagecoach, it's just like OxyContin.
No, it's just Miller Lite. Like, what do
Miller
you mean
Lite, I guess,
we don't have drugs?
We've got Miller Lite. Life is good.
Yeah. What do you need?
Yeah.
We've got America. anyway, I don't have a problem with America. I'm sorry about that.
No, America, most of America's great. We're going to get so in trouble for this podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to rein us in.
We were going to talk about Lost a little bit.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I always want to talk about Lost.
And so do I. And,
great.
Dan and Potter are not as Lost devout, I don't think.
Apparently, when I mentioned to Potter that we may talk about Lost, he's like, I want to talk about Lost.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
like, we'll talk about Lost a lot.
Well, that's weird, because I've never heard him talk about it. It's like guy that's like, oh, this woman, she's my wife. I've been married to her for 30 years.
Yeah.
What do you mean you didn't know about her? It's like, well, you don't talk about her, have any pictures.
Yeah. I've spent time with you guys 100 times, and you have never once even looked at each other.
118 times. Even.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Kyle and I have a plethora of Lost materials on our desk space.
Yeah.
So I think we'll go there.
Yeah.
We
can talk about... clearly, we did a lot of preparation for this podcast.
Yeah. We're working hard today, you guys.
Yeah, we had to do all kinds of work.
The NFL draft was tonight.
Yeah, the draft is happening.
Lots of copies.
We can talk. The only news that I can think of off the top of my head is that Alicia Vikander was picked to be Tomb Raider, or to be Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider movie.
Well, let's. You know what? I'm going to throw something out there right now.
Go for it.
Let's start with that. Well, we should talk about that if we're pro or con, but that's not a very long discussion because I imagine
we're not. Because we're both fine with it. I mean,
right,
Daisy Ridley would have been a little
I would have been
exciting,
excited about that, but
you know, Alicia Vikander is now doing her I'm kind of selling out thing, and that's
right.
Okay.
And she's great.
She should.
I can't deny that she's... It's not like they just picked a hottie that can't do other things.
Yeah.
I'm sure in the studio's mind, they picked the best of both worlds, which is this is an incredible actress who also happens to be gorgeous, a la Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
So, but Daisy Ridley will have her stuff.
She's got that Star Tours movie. To fall back on.
So I was going to say, on that note, why don't we, if we can come up with it off the top of our heads, favorite and least favorite video game to film adaptation.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Favorite is actual favorite, because some of these movies are actually good.
Right.
Resident Evil.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, Resident... There's
come
some...
Up with another one.
I rewatched all of the Resident Evil movies like 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good. I mean, they're not amazing movies, but like they're well made. They have coherent plots for the most part.
Resident Evil...
Like, they make sense.
Works. The proof to know that it works as a movie is that I had never played any of the games, but I really liked that movie.
Yeah.
I bought the DVD, and I would watch it occasionally and be like, laser grid, chopping the guy in the cubes. Whoa.
Yes, that is so
cool. And really interesting staged action.
Yes. Well, the thing that works, the reason I think that the Resident Evil series works, where some of these others don't, is that they don't stick too close to the source material. Like, they're not making it be the exact same thing. Like, in the first Resident Evil game, you're, what's your face? I can't remember her name. It's probably not Claire. It's probably Jill Valentine.
Yes.
And you're in this mansion, and then you go to the thing under the mansion, and it's just you. In the movie, they're like, you know what? Let's make it so she has no memory, and then she's going in with a strike team.
Yeah.
You know, to this underground lab. So most of it's taking place in the underground lab instead of most of it taking place in this weird mansion with puzzles right. everywhere. So they made it more of a movie than a video game.
Which is fair, since it's a movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas something like Mario Brothers was just weird.
This was a mile away just to get there, I guess.
Yeah.
Mario Brothers is... That movie haunts me like a... reoccurring STD or something where like
yeah.
I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm fascinated with movies that just aren't good or aren't very good, but mm-hmm. like on paper you can't believe they exist.
Right.
And so
you can't even look at it and say, okay, I see what they thought they were doing here.
Right.
You just look at it and you go, no, what? How did they not yeah. know?
So every couple of years I'm like, a Mario Brothers movie, that didn't really happen. And then I'll watch it out of the blue, and yeah. I'll be like,
I mean, it's got a great cast.
Amazing cast.
I mean, John Leguizamo, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper,
Samantha Mathis. Like, yeah.
And it has one of the best, like, making of behind-the-scenes stories ever, from its development all the way to Hoskins and Leguizamo just being hammered through all their takes. But it's
poor guys.
That shows, I guess, just the problem with adaptation in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That we still have today. We think today that, like, these current issues of like, oh, BVS, should these movies be darker, gritty, or fun like Marvel? That's what happened to Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, the first draft was like, it's a fun, colorful movie. Because
yeah.
that's what the video games are. And the studio kept pushing it darker and darker until
yeah.
it was... an evolution gun.
Yeah, it was really weird.
So weird.
Those weird Goombas.
Yeah. Those it's weird. It's imagery you can't shake out of your head.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's strange.
I hope Nintendo gives up their rights a little bit, because it would make a ton of It would make a ton of money
mm-hmm.
to make a CG Super Mario Brothers movie or Donkey Kong movie.
Right,
like,
right.
Like they're doing with
like
Angry
an animated
Birds.
Film. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
A turnout for that.
Well, there was talk, but apparently it's not happening anymore, about a Legend of Zelda TV series.
Yeah.
That which is just, I don't know. It's an interesting idea, but you almost would need to do, because you can't just have just Link
no.
going through all of it. You almost need to do like a Fellowship of the Ring kind of group.
Right,
or
you have
something.
To expand it somehow.
Yeah, like him, and then he's got like.
And it can't just be like the wolf from Twilight.
Sahasrara, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Like the sage from
Sarsaparilla.
Link to the Past. Yeah, Sarsaparilla.
Yeah. I remember everything.
Right? Just a little off.
So yeah, obviously that's like the lowest low point, I think, Mario Brothers, probably.
No, no. In the name of the king, a dungeon siege
God.
Tale. It was, oh my God, that movie was so bad. It had, what's his face, too?
It had somebody
who's
that was going to
be
Statham?
Jason Statham. Yeah, Jason Statham was in it.
Was that like the last thing you bowl? Did
I don't know. It was the last thing Germany paid for, I think.
Wow.
I think after that, Germany's oh, now we get what you're doing. No, you're not allowed to besmirch our good name.
Yeah.
You're worse than Hitler, sir.
Yeah. We are expunging you from the history books and leaving World War II. Yeah. I don't understand why it's so hard to adapt video games.
And Ray Liotta was in that, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well,
he was like this evil wizard guy.
I'm sure he has rent to pay.
He was Jason Statham's character was a farmer who believed you were what you did, so his name was Farmer. Yeah. It's like, hi, I'm Tom Everyman.
That's why that one chick in it was just Mary Blowjob.
Yes, that sure.
I was like,
this is the weekly apology to our listeners yeah. for Josh.
I was like, she's so underwritten, I don't understand. Now I totally get it. Sexist
Theory.
Much, you bull?
Probably.
Never, yeah. almost definitely, even though I made all that up.
It's okay.
Warcraft looks like it's landing right in that take no risks bland middle.
Yes. It's interesting. I mean, it looks... The plot seems like it's probably the humans. The orcs are running from something, and they run into the humans. So they fight for a little bit. And then they realize, wait, we can't fight each other. We have to fight what I'm assuming are going to be dark elves that are coming. And they have to unite together. But, of course, there's people who don't want to, so...
So it's the Avengers, except you don't care about any of them. So it's BVS.
Yes. Yes. BVS. This is all for Dan. Warcraft. Who's that here? Dan's going to listen to this and just murder us.
Yeah, I don't... I used to be of the mode that, like, literally any movie, I could find a reason to see it, where I would be like... Oh, but its second editor also did, like, was the editing PA on Pulp Fiction. Like, I would find any reason to see something.
Right.
And I'm sure I'll see Warcraft, but there hasn't been a shot yet that's convinced me.
Yeah.
Normally a trailer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why studios have marketing departments, is to give you that one shot that you go, oh, this is what that is. This is why I want to see this.
But this is like a year of movies that don't have that shot. Because, like...
True.
What's it called? X-Men. There's no shot in X-Men that I'm like, oh, okay, this is the part of the movie I'm going to watch this for.
Well, did you watch the trailer this week?
No.
So they released a new trailer, and it almost got there. It's the closest they've gotten to getting there.
Was it Wolverine's claws? Alleged claws?
It was that.
Wolverine's alleged claws?
Yeah. It was that, but even before that, there was some... It was the first time the movie showed composition or some idea of plot.
Okay.
But, like...
Yeah, I'm almost... like, look, this guy's behind those End of Days myths.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was... I guess what got me was that, like, because they have such a star in Jennifer Lawrence, it seems like the story is Xavier gets injured somehow. It falls on her shoulders to basically create the X-Men.
Okay.
Make a team that will fight Apocalypse.
Got it.
And, like, Beast is like, but we have to play by Dr. Xavier's rules. And she's like, no, because I'm in a moral gray area.
I don't play by your rules.
Right.
I play by some rules, but I decide what they are.
Well, it shows the problem of everything becoming more and more generic, like Warcraft, I guess, because she literally screams in the trailer, forget everything you thought you knew.
Oh, yeah, that line again.
Which I'm pretty sure people try and use that line to, like, sell milk now. Like, it's so overused.
Forget everything you thought you knew about milk.
Yeah.
Or soy milk.
Yeah, so I guess...
Or rice milk. Or almond milk.
I guess when Jennifer Lawrence says it, it makes it a little bit more exciting. But I feel duped. I feel disappointed in myself because I think the shot that really got me was the opera theater in Sydney being destroyed. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I can't grasp the name of it right now. But
they went through a log of every disaster movie and were like, what have we not seen destroyed recently?
You know, and that's probably why. I was like, ooh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is, because that's what I was talking about. Like, I want to see that. I haven't seen that before. But that's all they can give me is like, it's an opera house.
Oh, just wait. An Independence Day 4... They're going to have an alien spaceship that's got a little, like, plow that comes down, and they're just going to drag the entire length of the Great Wall of China.
They're gonna force all the continents back together into Pangaea.
And then blow it up.
Yeah.
They're like, we just like water, guys. That way. Yeah. We're just going to live underwater. We're like, we would have lived with you in peace.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a hypocrite because I'm going to see these movies, but, like, God help us. I do. Like, I'm going to see Independence Day Resurgence because it's kind of fascinating to be doing a sequel 20 years later, which also makes me old.
It kind of looks like a mess, though.
I remember yeah, it does. But that's the thing, like, I don't want to see Independence Day 4, which they say they're gearing up for a trilogy.
Right.
How many times can you do...
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. At a certain point, you just sort of got to walk away.
Yeah.
We're finally... Go make another Stargate movie if you're going to do something. Like, there's more to do there. Maybe not after 17, 18 years of television.
But maybe whatever the Independence Day mythology, which again, not everything should have a mythology and shared universe, is totally unnecessary.
Yeah.
But maybe it's better as a TV show or something. All this proves to me...
That's interesting.
I remember in 2001, was that when Hannibal came out?
Sure.
2002, something like that. I was still young enough that I had to try and get my mom to, like, drop me off at the theater to see it.
Okay.
And she's like, you're not going to see that movie. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, it's a sequel to a classic that came out 11 years ago. 11 years in between, like, movies? That's insane. Like, I have to see it because I'm fascinated by that. And I remember her just being like, 11 years isn't anything.
And I'm like, that's crazy. My entire life.
Yeah, and now when all these Independence Day trailers are like, it's been 20 years since the War of 96, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Was I supposed to get married or something?
It's been 25 years since Ghostbusters 2. Why would you tell me that?
Right.
It's probably been longer than that.
We are in trouble, though, kind of. Everything, more or less everything coming out does look somewhat painfully bland.
Yeah, I mean, Civil War might be good, but again, they're not going to kill anybody.
Which is the only
way there can be. I mean, maybe they'll kill Anthony Mackie.
I think we're getting one or two.
Or deaths. Don Cheadle.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to kill anybody we really care about.
Right.
Because they all have more movies to be in.
Right.
That's the hardest part with some of these Marvel movies for me, I think, is the, like, lack of dramatic tension.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing that, like, Lost did so well.
Oh, yeah. We'll get, okay,
in those
yeah.
early seasons was, like, people could die on Lost. Like,
and they always did.
I mean, Jack, Kate, Sawyer, okay, no, but...
And they even died, you know, at times where the narrative didn't already, but, like, show the hand of
yeah.
their death.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
you had, forgive me for forgetting their names, but...
Nick Hurley's and Paolo?
Well, oh. yeah, but when...
oh, yes.
Hurley's girlfriend and
yes.
Anna Lucia...
Yeah.
Getting popped in the hatch
yeah.
by Michael. You're like,
right?
What the fuck?
Well, Anna Lucia got popped because she drunk driving.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mr. Echo wanted off the show.
Right.
So they killed him.
Yeah.
But, like, early on, like, the Shannon and Boone.
Oh, yeah. Totally not
like,
telegraphed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
all these things,
good.
So all these things should be Lost, but that like just to tie up what we were talking about, like that's the burden that Lost didn't have because it was telling an original story,
yeah.
with original characters and can do whatever it want.
Yeah,
the burden that
it wasn't until season like 3 that it became like okay, this show's going to be on for a while, so
right.
we need to protect stuff.
Right, we got to find a way.
Yeah.
Like the burden that these other movies have, whether they're Marvel and Bond and you want to see them
mm-hmm.
or it's Warcraft and you don't, is that like that missing dramatic tension, it's like telling the Aristocrats joke over and over again.
Right.
You know what the joke is, but you have to tell it to me in a fresh way.
Yeah.
So that's my hope for Civil War, is that I'm going to see
yeah.
I'm going to get some freshness in it.
Yeah.
But it is all getting a little tired.
Yeah. I mean if I was overrunning Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never be overrunning Marvel. But hey, maybe you guys need someone to run it. Give us a call. What I think would be a really interesting strategy to do, and obviously this isn't going to happen with Civil War, and it's probably never going to happen this way. But like, if I'm Marvel and I have Civil War coming out, I make the announcement like they did that, like that. What's his face? That. Why can I not remember his name? He plays Iron
Spider-Man.
Man. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
is going to be in Spider-Man, right?
Oh, right
I make
yeah.
that announcement, and then I don't show anybody the movie before it comes out, and then I kill him at the end of Civil War.
Oh.
You know, so you make that announcement that he's going to be in this movie as a smokescreen.
Right.
So nobody's expecting it. And
yeah.
then you kill him, and they're like, what the fuck? He's going to come back, right?
Yeah.
And you just, like, you announce it, and no, he's not. We killed him. He's dead. He's gone. It's comics, I know, but he's not coming back. And then you don't bring him back.
Well, that's where we all suck as people, because deep down, none of us want to see those mythic characters die. You don't want to see
yeah.
Spider-Man actually die. That's why when you get older, you find Lost or other things that give you that more satisfying story beat.
Right. Because there's always more Spider-Man stories to tell.
Yeah.
Even if there's not.
There's. Because Dan's not here again, there's not.
Spider-Man 2, or The Amazing Spider-Man 2,
yeah.
made The Amazing Spider-Man 1
worse.
Look like Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or made Spider-Man 3 look like Spider-Man 2.
That's another movie where I'm fascinated by its flaws. I only ever saw it once in theaters. But, like, that movie was how you'd make a Spider-Man movie if it was 1997 and you were opening against Batman Forever. Like, it's the most 90s. Like, it had no concept of what era was in.
Yeah.
Like, Jamie Foxx is playing an over-the-top version of a villain that happens on those old
He's playing movies. Mr. Freeze. Like, he's doing the same thing, more or less, that Schwarzenegger did.
And it was so schizophrenic. It tried to do what we're talking about, where you want that more satisfying adult beat, where at the end it was like, oh, this was kind of a silly movie, huh? Well, Gwen Stacy's dead!
Right.
Like, wait, why?
Well, and
you
it
didn't
did
earn
the,
that.
Yeah, and it did. It had some of the same issues that Batman v Superman has, where it's rushing things. Like, hey, look, here's Harry Osborn. Look, they're best friends now after two conversations.
Right.
Or they have a history. It's completely unclear.
Yeah. And Paul Giamatti, he's the Rhino. Why? Because he said...
because that's what we do
Rhino.
Now.
Yeah.
We just put Easter eggs in for no reason whatsoever. Right. Remember that time he walked past Doc Ock's, you know, arms? Sure, why not?
It is going to be absolutely amazing when we get the next original idea that kind of blows the doors off, when I wish we could think of it.
But, I know, right?
But I guess that's the fertile land of television right now.
Yeah.
Which we can... Let's explore a little loss, because there's a reason for it. We both got tickets to the We Have to Go Back... I'm not even sure if it's an anniversary show or that it's just there's so much residual love for Lost still out in the ether that here in Hollywood, we're pretentious. they're doing a reunion concert and Giacchino is going to conduct all these beautiful scores and show footage.
And I'll cry.
Be cast and da da da. And then they tweeted out this morning they added a second date because there was so much demand.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did that already sell out?
I don't know. I totally forgot about it until we were, like, talking right now.
I'll have to talk to Katie about that.
Yeah, shit. I'm sorry. I should have told you right away.
No, it's okay.
I saw it,
it's
and I was
okay.
like...
I told Katie about it. She's like, oh, man, I want to go. I'm like, well, Josh got me tickets, and if he doesn't have a girlfriend, I'm going.
Yeah,
so I'm going.
Yep. Unless some weird timeline things. Unless Jacob comes and touches me.
That's awkward.
Not Jacob that works with us.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Although he's got kind of a Jake Island Jacob vibe. Anyway.
He does a little bit, actually. You're right. That's strange.
He's got kind of like a
withheld
innocence and complexity.
Yeah.
Do I have a crush on Jacob?
I think you do. That's okay. I won't tell anybody.
Yeah.
It's just between you and me and the audio recorder sitting in between us.
But, God, I wish this is the first time I really feel like I wish whoever's listening to us right now could talk with us, because I could talk about Lost like some people can talk about their kids, which is that just shows how little I've achieved.
Yeah, that's fair. I started rewatching Lost. Like,
yeah.
I'm very slowly doing it during, like, when I'm eating lunch at my desk.
Oh, right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, look, another 20 minutes of Lost.
That's why earlier today, when I was trying to say something during lunch, you just put your hand out, like you're stopping bullets.
Oh, no. That was something completely. That was some video about politics. I don't know what the video was.
Yeah.
No, but I'm rewatching, and that pilot is perfect.
Yeah.
It's just...
Did you start from the get-go originally?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched, that was actually, this is the weird thing, that was the first show that I got access to the pilot before it aired.
Oh, wow.
So I watched it in like July or August.
Yeah.
Just the first hour.
Right.
And I'm like,
holy shit.
Holy shit. This is amazing. I need to get everybody I know to watch it. You know, I think this year's the 10th anniversary.
That makes
Because thinking about it, it was my senior year. It was 14?
Yeah, because I went to the 10th anniversary concert.
It was.
Yeah.
You're right. Never mind. So it's a 12-year anniversary.
Something.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got to see it before it aired. So when it aired, finally, I'm like, okay, everybody come into my, I think it was in the dorms or an apartment. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just made everybody sit in front of the TV and watch it. And it was amazing.
Yeah. I was... This is somewhat fascinating in the sense that here we are sitting on a studio lot in a writer's room of a television show that I was totally not on the TV train. It wasn't that, like, I was, like, a pretentious goth kid that was like, TV, no thanks. I have more, like, whatever to listen to.
I'm going to make a film.
Hot Topic is open, so I'll see you later.
I'm going to make skate videos.
I didn't watch anything, like, serialized, really, because in that day, there wasn't DVR, there wasn't Hulu, there wasn't, right. like, so I would watch, you know, like, comedies when I caught them in, like, reruns of Seinfeld and shit, and, like, a lot of SNL on VH1 or whatever it was, and that was, right. like, my shit, and I didn't really get it, and I didn't have HBO at home, like, so I never got into anything too deep. And then Lost was happening, and everybody was like, you have to watch this show. And I'm like, no, I have to watch Empire Strikes Back for the 700th time in my life. Like,
of course.
I was like, movies are where it's at. And then I moved into a house with like 8 dudes, and they all sat down together to watch the premiere of season 2 of Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they wouldn't let me like go to my room and be the weird like anti-socialite kid. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll watch it with you. And it was from that episode.
Interesting.
I was absolutely, without having seen a second of the first season, uh-huh. and only knowing that the cliffhanger was what's in a hatch, which right. I remember kind of mocking everybody for. I was like, oh, you spent your whole summer worrying about a hole in the ground.
You asshole.
I'm a convert.
I spent my whole summer worrying about a hole in the ground.
And I spent every summer after that worrying about wherever they left us. But I think that proves how fantastic the show and so how complete it was that from that episode I was just in for forever.
Yeah.
For the rest of my
life.
That's
impressive.
And it showed to me what TV can do when it reaches for it or when it has reason to.
Right.
Is layer.
Well, that was, so when I came down to UCLA in 2002 or so, I wanted to make films. That was, you know, my goal at the time. I had watched television, of course, you know, most of my life, but I was never, like, a devotee of television, right. I don't think, at that point. I mean, I watched Friends every week. But then it was the summer before I went down to college that, like, I think The OC started, 24. Alias. Like, all these shows were on, and I was watching all of them, you know, and I was sort of obsessed with all of them. So then, at UCLA, I ended up taking a history of American television class.
So
in that, as a sort of a prep for film school, which I didn't get into, but in that class, we watched an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer from like season 4. It was Hush, the one where the gentlemen show up and nobody can speak. And I saw that and I'm like, okay, this show's interesting. So then I ended up watching, simultaneously, I was going between Buffy and catching up on West Wing, as introduced to West Wing in college.
I still need to watch West Wing.
And because of those wonderful, like, download networks between colleges at the time and, like, the super fast dorm internet.
Right.
I just downloaded every episode of West Wing up to that point.
You could have used that stuff for things besides pornography?
Yes, you can. There was a lot
of
television. A lot of South Park.
yeah.
And so it was the combination of, like, West Wing and Firefly, really.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, so this is what television can do. And then Lost came out, and I'm like, and this is what television should do.
Dan's good point that he always makes about Marvel is that it's television on a larger scale that now everybody's trying to do, but only, I feel like we'll look back in 20 years and realize only they really pulled it off, the shared universe idea.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the thing about this era is that, I think I maybe even said this last week, so bear with me, but, like, it's, this era of TV is 70s cinema. It's doing interesting things. It's doing adult things. It's doing things you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even 10, 12 years ago, you had a show called Big Love that I didn't even watch.
Right.
But you couldn't do that to that level of storytelling as a movie. And you couldn't have made that show 10 years earlier, and you might not be able to make it 10 years from now. We're like, this is peak TV.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
We have to credit Lost for a lot of that.
Yeah.
Because for a long time,
Lost
everything
and Sopranos
was,
are really the two, like, big.
Well, because Lost is talking about, like, mythology and giant universes.
Yeah.
Lost started the trend where, okay, if our show is going to be successful, it has to have some mind-blowing mythology.
Yeah.
And that's kind of gone by the wayside because nobody can do it better than Lost.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's some of that in even something like, oh, I don't know, Pretty Little Liars.
Yes.
You know, there's
sort
of complicated mythology there that
sort
of unfolds as the story goes and sort of gives you something to to put the characters in. Instead of, it's not just, hey, look, here's these great characters. It's that, but it's also, and here's this bigger thing going
on. A much bigger thing.
They don't understand. You don't understand. Yeah. And
you're living part of the goal is understanding. You're living through it with them, figuring out with them.
Exactly.
And in solving that mystery, you can go to different places so that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Cheers, but Cheers never did anything but be a bar show. And something like L.A. Law, it's always just...
Yeah.
And there's comfort in that, but something like Lost could go in different directions.
Yeah, and it can do time travel.
Right. And we haven't done time travel at Pretty Little Liars, and we're not. This is not... Or are we? I don't know.
I've been pushing for it, secretly. There's rumors that Mona may be a Time Lord.
But even this show has managed to dabble in many different genres. And that's what we can do in the old TV.
I know, I love television.
It's just, well, okay, so here's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Is Lost still the only love, or is there anything you could rank above Lost? Or is there anything that's moved you to the same degree?
That is a hard question. The only show since Lost that has gotten me anywhere near that is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Now, part of that is that I now work in television. I've now worked in television for a while.
Right.
So some of those shows that may have, like, Fringe grabbed me for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I had such a better understanding of how television works by the time, you know, that was sort of getting to its, you know, sort of high point, that, you know, sort of I understood a lot more, I think, what was coming.
Right.
Whereas in Breaking Bad, I don't think I did as much. So that was, you know, it was sort of the, if I hadn't worked in television, I was just a fan, you know, working at some tech company or whatever. And I came home and I watched Lost every week or I watched Breaking Bad every week. I probably would have liked Breaking Bad even more than I do now because, you know, I don't have that knowledge of how it works. And, you know,
it's actors'
contracts are up and this person's not coming back next season. And, oh, Giancarlo Esposito just booked Revolution. So I guess Spring's not going to be back much longer.
Yeah, it's much more difficult to impress a magician with an illusion.
Yeah.
But
when you do, it's so much more impressive.
That's why I loved Breaking Bad and why I feel like the industry loves Breaking Bad so much, is because on one level you envied it because it went places you feel like you couldn't go or wouldn't go. It wasn't afraid to do that. And it was just... And it's all the beats you wanted to happen, whether you're an insider or not, happened. Yeah. And that was so satisfying.
Yeah. Well, I know for us on, you know, something like Pretty Little Liars, not to talk about our job while we're in the building where we work, it allowed us, I think, in a couple instances to do things that I don't know that we would have necessarily been able to.
Yeah.
Like when we did the Dollhouse stuff.
Yeah.
That when we came back from that season break, we came back to Sarah Harvey locked in her cell. We didn't come back to the girls outside of the thing.
Right.
So we spend the first minute like the Hatch in season two of Lost.
Someone you don't know what the hell.
You know, and Breaking Bad was doing that a lot. So when you're pitching that out to a studio or a network, you can say, you know, there's this shorthand.
You have a comp.
Yeah, it's like Breaking Bad.
Right.
You know, it's like Lost.
Yeah.
And it's, okay, that we get. That makes sense. Okay, we understand what you're going for. You know, it's the kind of thing that... Without examples of it being done well, is hard to convey to somebody.
And even though Breaking Bad wasn't this big picture good versus evil thing that, like, Lost ended up being, it's had its own mythology, too. It created a world out of a place that I never want to go to or be at, New Mexico. New Mexico, it's just not...
There goes our New Mexico listeners.
Yeah, not my cup of tea that I just consumed. But, like, it made a world of it.
Yeah.
And that's what any good entertainment has to convincingly do, and why I think, to go back a little bit, something like Warcraft or X-Men looks a little drabber to us, because it's not... doesn't have some form of attention to detail or accent on it that... you can tell it's that person's work or the tone's not there or something. There's just something really compelling and edgy about Breaking Bad that made me wonder if I was a sociopath. Because I know a lot of people that are like, I liked it, but it was just so depressing, and it was, like, too stressful. Like, it just fucked with me too much to watch. I never really had that problem.
Me neither. And I think part of that is, you know, is maybe us working in television and the thrill of, you know, no matter how dark it got or depressing it got, there's just sort of that thrill for me of like, oh my God, I can't believe they're going here.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're pulling it off. I can't believe they're doing it so well.
Right.
You know, sort of just admiring the accomplishment of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And sort of the rush that you get from seeing somebody do. It's like, it's the same as like if you're watching a basketball game or a football game or whatever, and you see somebody at the top of their game.
Yes.
You know, like, I hate Kobe Bryant with the burning passion of a thousand suns.
Right.
But I can still appreciate when he has a ridiculous night and, you know.
Right.
Makes 70% of his shots and gets 60 points.
Right.
You know.
That's very true. Everything about Breaking Bad was pretty much always at the top of the game. I have trouble thinking of, like, a disposable episode. Which Lost even has episodes.
Lost has, like, half of the third season.
Yeah.
You could sort of toss out a bit.
But that was, like, so we should do this now. Mm-hmm. My favorite season of Lost is the third season.
Okay.
Look, and that was the moment Kyle never talked to Josh again, but I'll tell you why.
No, this maybe I meant fourth season. I don't know. It's been, I have not watched, I watched the first season when it came out as it aired. I watched all of it as it aired. Before the second season, I rewatched the first season. Before the third season, I rewatched the first and second season.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't keep doing that. Right, so I don't think I've seen anything from third season since it aired.
It goes back to that, some of the fascination I have with things that are like, flawed, because it is a flawed season.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's that little insider baseball of it that, like, just the shift they had from when they got the go-ahead from the network of, okay, you can end at this, at X date, and have X amount of episodes.
Right.
You just felt the shift.
Yeah, they stopped treading water.
And it was also the season, it was, you know, it's right at that middle point where you get to the height of the mystery before you start getting any answers.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to Jacob's cabin, and it's empty, and there's a rocking chair going, help me. Yeah. And you go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And you have the flash forward reveal in the finale.
Right.
And the finale,
that
of course,
was season three?
Yeah.
Wow, and the finale,
the beautiful finale, great, like, a great action movie in its own right, where it did the thing that you figured the show could never do, or anybody before it started goes, well, obviously the show ends with them leaving the island. They make the call with it, and they get to leave the island. Like, so...
That's the end of three?
Yeah. To me, that's, like, the most compelling season, because not only
does it do that... I need to rewatch all of this.
Not only does it, like, do quickly. That story work, but it also, to me, it's the best... It's everything Lost has to say across six seasons in one bottle.
Got it.
From its best to worst or whatever.
Are you sure that wasn't season four?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Season four was the boat season and the time jumping season.
I thought that was five.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay. Season four was the boat season. I said time jumping because it was the flash forward season.
Okay.
And then...
Okay.
And four is my least favorite season because I can't... That was the writer's strike season.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't... That had some great episodes. I think that's the season with The Constant.
Okay, that was a good episode.
But...
I like that episode.
Yeah. Still one of the most, like, romantic things ever.
Was that not Penny's Boat? That season?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And then... Or no, that was season three, too.
Was that season three?
Yeah, because that's when... Because season three...
I'm off a season.
Season three is where... That's what I mean. It's the show that's weirdest, too, where it starts doing things that you're like, the show isn't going to get away with that.
Well, season five was like time travel where Sawyer and Juliet ended up in the 70s on the island.
And I liked all that jazz.
Me, too. Me, too. I'm just trying to, like, give the timeline. Ben Linus shows up in season two, right?
Yeah.
As Henry Gale.
Right.
Okay.
And the season two finale is them getting abducted by the others.
Yeah, that may be my favorite season.
And you get, you get the finale is you get the Desmond flashback.
Oh, see you in another life, brother.
Right.
Yeah.
And then 3 is where shit starts getting crazy because Desmond's having visions of Charlie's death. And that's why it's not Penny's boat, because they make the call thinking it's Penny's boat.
Yeah.
And you see not Penny's boat and you go, oh, no. No. And the end of 5 is blowing up the bomb. And flashing the white and being like, what happened to any of them?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what, to me, 3 is the most fascinating because in retrospect, like, critics of that show want to say that they had no idea what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. And anybody that has worked in television will tell you that it's always fluid with an overall
thesis. Yeah, there's always a plan, and the plan doesn't always go as
right, but planned. It's tweaked along the way. It's like, you know, you're going to get to the mall, but you might stop at Burger King.
Yeah.
Except better than that, I guess. Right. That's a pretty shitty day.
I went to Burger King and then the mall.
But that season, like season 3, shows me that they did have a plan, because even in episode, or that they were good at reworking what they had done, because even an episode that was seen as lame at the time, like Hurley driving around in a van.
That was so great.
And you're like, oh, but what? Like, when you're going from that week to week, like, I need the juice.
Right,
And that episode didn't give you juice because it gave you character stuff. You go, well, what the hell? Yeah. But then the next season, or 2 seasons, in the time travel season, you're like, oh my God, that dead body they kicked out of that van was Ben's dad. Yeah. And it was the Purge, and it was this and that. And it was... So Bravo lost its most beautiful, accomplished... Yes. Yeah, pulled me into TV, and I think it'll always be my one true. Like, there's other shows that are compelling, obviously. Like, Game of Thrones right now. But
yeah, but the premiere was good.
But Lost... Those shows, not even Breaking Bad, go to the depths of theme.
Yes.
Like Lost did, where I literally finished reading The Stand last week, and it's 1,200 pages long. The only reason I read that book is because week after week in recaps with Damon and Carlton, they would name drop The Stand occasionally as like an influence.
Oh, interesting. I have not read it.
Yeah, like and I don't totally see the relation now that I have.
I feel like it was a waste of my time. It was pointless. I don't understand Lost any better than I did before. Right.
But, like, that show, I wrote a blog for a while for a website recapping it, and it gave you things where you could turn around and learn stuff about philosophy, science, religion, history. It was just very nuanced.
Yeah. There were a lot of ideas in that show. But really, it came down to the characters for me. Like, that was the best part. And that's why I was so satisfied with the finale. Like, sure, they didn't answer every single question. A lot of the answers you could sort of discern from what they didn't tell you.
Yeah.
But the character wrap-ups were just extremely satisfying to me.
Yeah, it was one of the best character finales ever. And also, I was totally on board with the finale because, to me, it communicated the moral of the show overall, which was, you don't get the answers. Right. You will never have all the answers.
Yeah.
A lot of the answers will be more fantastic than you anticipated or take you places you didn't think you would go. Mm-hmm. But your life, no matter what belief system you come from, will always be a balance of some faith and some knowledge and some belief and some tactile thing you have in front of you. That's the only way it goes.
Yeah.
And the most important thing, the only real thing that you can completely understand and build on and share is the relationships.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna cry right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dun 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 dun. Oh God, now I gotta listen to that tonight. Dun dun. So yeah,
that music was so good.
Yeah. There was chatter that and maybe it'll still happen if it holds its place in the culture, that, like, in 10 years we'll get some kind of, like,
Lost
special
thing.
Where it's like, this is what Hurley was doing on the island.
Right.
Okay, well, now we'll give you that answer about Walt since we didn't really cover it.
Right, right.
But I still don't need it, you know?
Yeah, there was talk not too long ago. I don't think they're, like, pursuing it. But there was talk, I think it was Q's talked about it and ABC talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, sure, somebody will make another Lost, but it won't be Lost. It won't be like a remake of Lost, but it'll be maybe something set in that universe
with that name
attached to it, which I'm okay with.
The other thing it did in the culture that is part of the reason we're doing what we're doing right now, not to make it bigger than it is, but that show, and I think that's part of the reason I started to love TV and really love Lost, was that it totally took advantage of every medium, and especially the internet. It was the first show, and one of our EPs here talks about it, Charlie, all the time, about how it took down the walls between creator and audience.
Yes, yes. The podcast. They had the weekly podcast that I always listen to. They would post on forums.
And they were suddenly accessible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is now very much the world we live in.
Well, and they did those fun... I enjoyed them. The alternate reality stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where you, like... They had the QR codes that were scattered about, like, the world.
Right.
And when people found them and put them in, they were video clips. And if you put the video together, you got to watch this Hanzo Foundation, Dharma Initiative.
Right.
Like, orientation video.
You could call Oceanic Airlines and ask them about, like, the whereabouts of Flight 815. And like, all this other really cool
Awesome they had that Hanzo Foundation line that you called and you, like, chose the right options, somebody would, like, cut into the line and be like, we need your helps, you know. Like,
yeah.
We need to stop this.
Man.
That was so much fun. I miss that show.
Yeah, now we're just going to a very wistful place.
Seriously, though. Like, I don't know that I'll... I hope that I'll have that same feeling from a show again. If it's one I have to create.
I guess that's what I mean by, like, the bigger picture of, like, when we're talking about movies and something new. The trick of the whole thing is, like, we miss Lost. We want Lost again. But we don't want Lost again or something to try and play that card because it won't do it as well. We want the thing that moves us.
We want the feeling of Lost again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, like, and in movies, you want the feeling of the first time you saw Jurassic Park to happen again.
Yeah.
And some original concept and, like...
Yeah, because the closest we've been able to get to, like, the feeling of Jurassic Park and, oh my god, dinosaurs are real, is Jurassic World, but it's an echo of it. It's not the same thing. It's not something new.
Yeah. Media right now is, we're all kind of drug addicts where we're chasing the high.
And it's never quite as good as the first time.
Right. We're just getting that cheap smack now.
Yeah.
And it's just not. We're all lighting up spoons.
Oh, it's so true.
It's not. But, I'm trying to think of a neat little button for this wide-ranging discussion.
Maybe they should just make a video game out of Lost. And then make a movie out of that video game.
Yeah. Lost. I could just stay in that cloud. So let's shift to something we both enjoy, and we could use this as a closer without... hopefully getting into too deep and alienating people we wouldn't mind alienating anyways.
Cocaine?
But, yeah. it was a political week.
It was a very political week. It has been a fascinating week.
It is a very fascinating political time that, in fact, I will project that we'll be mad about in 10 years if either of us achieve any level of success. And we go back to these pods to hear what we said about what's happening out there right now and realize we didn't say anything.
Why are they not talking about this?
We were trying to keep it clean.
Literally, people, like twos of people listen to this podcast.
Right. No, but I mean, like, we'll want to hear, like, what did I say about Trump when that was all going down? And it'll be like, oh, no, we just kept talking
about
it.
He's a psychotic sociopath.
There it is. So now it's on the record just when we need that in the future. But
Ted Cruz is apparently Satan himself.
Yeah. Oh, that was so funny.
That was so funny. And then the Satanists being offended by that.
That's I'm a Christian, and that's the funniest thing I've... Don't insult Satan like that. It's
How
so good.
Dare you?
It's so good. Anyway, I was going to say, give me a piece. Give me a political work. West Wing, I feel like, is the obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go with a movie that you want to tell the people to dive into. Ooh, since we're both very political.
A political movie people. To dive into.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with something less obvious. Because I feel like the obvious ones are like an American president.
Sure.
Or maybe Dave, which is great. But I'm going to say Wag the Dog.
Ah, that's one I was going to pull out.
It's just amazing. It's got Dustin Hoffman. It's got a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And the long and short of it is the president, it gets in trouble for...
is it a sex scandal?
It is a sex scandal with, like, an underage, not Girl Scout. She's not a Girl Scout. She's a Firefly girl. Which is really funny because I made a short, or I co-wrote a short that I wrote with my girlfriend Katie, and she directed it. And we needed something for the Girl Scouts, and so we ended up using Firefly Girls.
Yeah.
But the president gets in sort of a sex scandal with an underage Firefly girl, and there's an election coming up, and so to distract from that scandal, they create a fictional war. It's the kind of movie that would be really hard to pull off now with the internet and cell phones and cameras everywhere, videos everywhere. Yeah. But at that time, it was amazing.
It was also weird because at that time, what conservative media there was, which is not the same as it is today, was like,
right.
That was a time where they championed a Hollywood liberal movie because they're like, this is what's happening.
Yeah, this is what Clinton did.
We got Bill up there getting BJs, and so he goes into Bosnia. Why do you think
we're in Bosnia? Yeah, exactly.
There probably isn't even a Bosnia. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
It doesn't sound like a country.
Yeah. It's weird that you bring that up because this is a little plug for something to be excited about this week that maybe we'll talk about next week. Drops tomorrow with this pod on Netflix, Special Correspondence.
Yes.
Which is Ricky Gervais's new movie.
Yeah.
And talk again about like interesting mediums. Like, seems like Netflix is trying to get into the space of, oh, you can't get the studio to make that movie and widely distribute it. Just do it here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same idea, but in a way that's believable now. I don't know when it's set. Maybe it's set in the 90s, too.
No, I think it's set now. And it's two reporters.
Yeah.
Who, or I guess an on-camera reporter and a producer, who basically say they're going to Iraq to report on what's happening in Iraq and end up just doing so from an apartment in New York City.
Yeah.
And then nobody can find them, so they're believed to have been, like, captured.
Right.
And so they're like, shit, now we have to go to Iraq so that we can be found. So that we're not found out.
It's going to be
It good. Sounds fun.
Because like that's a dude that knows how to bite into everything in a really real way that will make you be like, but I thought I was right.
Yeah.
I've had to think about what he says about God a few times. But
he has very strong opinions that I don't necessarily disagree with.
But yeah, that movie's got a rule. I was trying to think of my political pick and I can't grasp it. But I think that's because I'm tired.
That's fair.
And also because I tend to like movies that are not overtly about politics, but are making a political statement rather than the movies that are political themselves. Like, I guess to go again to the theme of me getting into flawed things and being kind of fascinated by what works and what doesn't, like, it is fascinating to watch a movie like Primary Colors or it's telling you the Bill Clinton story without saying it's Clinton.
Yeah, a fictionalized Bill Clinton.
Or W.
Yeah.
Just because it's Josh Brolin playing W, even though they're not particularly good movies.
They did, they just made this announcement the other day, speaking of political movies, that Will Ferrell is going to play Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
In a movie called Reagan. Katie went to this blacklist. It's a script that's on the blacklist. Oh, so she's heard the reading. She went to the reading of it. Well,
so let me say this before you get into it, because it's going to answer some of my questions. I was falling on the side of, there's no way, this sounds like there's no way they can do this movie without it being just outright offensive. But I was giving it the benefit of the doubt because it's a blacklist script and it's attracting this talent. Because the concept, I'll say this and then you can launch into the whole thing. Yeah. The concept is that it's Reagan going into his second term, his Alzheimer's has started to set in order to make him function as a president. They've made this intern be his, like, body man that is telling him, like, every day, like, okay, this scene is, and is causing him to be president by letting him believe that he's an actor playing the president.
Yes. What I'm unsure about, I don't know, and I'll have to talk to Katie about it again.
Yeah.
It sounded like it wasn't a thing that was done on purpose. Like, it might have been accidental that, like, Reagan just shows up and thinks that this body man is a director.
Oh.
So I don't know. But it sounds, which sounds more like...
That's a less, like, scathing
It
angle.
Sounds more like...
Not that I have a problem that with sounds more
like, well,
with.
Right, right. Yeah. But that version where they have somebody do that sounds like more of a tragedy, more of a really fucking dark black comedy.
Yeah, it's just hard to do anything with, like Alzheimer's manipulating and be like, him.
Right, right. Yeah. But it becomes a little more screwball if... He's the one who's initiating that mistake instead of him being manipulated.
And then they just have to roll with it.
Yeah. But it sounded like the body man is doing things, like is having Reagan do weird things to cover for him, or he doesn't understand what he's doing. So he's like, oh, no, we should do this. And then he's like, wait, why? You know, and then everybody else is like, that's a weird thing to do, but the president said to do it.
Oh.
You know, so I don't know. Like Granada.
Yeah, well, instance, if you like, know what, if they play it that way, where it's like not, where it's not an Alzheimer's comedy, or it's not like a like "fuck you, Reagan," which has its place, but I mean, like if it's a more ribald, like broad ranging, like this is the farce we operate in,
Where like that's to me
this
what
is
it
what this is what
like.
Government is, where it's like one guy being like, "Well, let's do this," and everybody going like, "Well, he's the guy, so well,
yeah,
let's
we
do
have
that.
To do what he says."
And I mean, like, I'll follow Will Ferrell into almost any dark tunnel, so like, I'm willing to go there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have some stuff to look forward to.
We do.
We convinced everyone that Lost is the best show that ever happened.
Absolutely.
Somewhere, as if he felt Alderaan exploding, Dan is feeling a great disturbance for all the shit.
Yes, because we talked about
him.
Politics.
And I don't know.
We threw shit at BVS and
we didn't really
something else in Spider-Man.
Yeah, we didn't really do anything to piss off Potter except say what he's doing isn't interesting. Which is even, he's at a family wedding in New York. And there's no reason to shit
on that. New York's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to go see Hamilton. I don't know.
Oh my God, I want a Hamilton report. I'm just going to say I'm going to be future Josh for a second and say that my favorite political movie ever is the film adaptation of Hamilton, even though a lot of people don't like it because they say it's not as good as the stage show. But I never saw it because I couldn't get tickets, so it doesn't mean anything to me.
I don't know. I didn't like that they cut my two favorite songs from the movie.
But they added that one for the Oscars to get an original song Oscar.
Yeah, but I didn't think that song was as good as the two they cut.
Brr, it's getting cold in here. There must be a duel in the atmosphere. This is now getting into our nerdy...
The title of it is, in parentheses, Aaron, and then in parentheses, Brr.
Yeah. So now, okay, so stay tuned for our political pun podcast.
Yes. It's called Political Pun Detree.
Yeah. Oh boy. Let's do that.
But in the
meantime, have a great week and a great weekend, everybody. This is the pause before the storm that is the summer movie season.
Yes, it is.
So it's possible, depending on when we decide to record next week, that we might even have Civil War reactions for you.
Civil War reenactments, maybe.
Well, that's on the Punditry cast.
We should do that.
Oh
we
my
do
God!
Civil War reenactments on the podcast.
We should do. This is viral video. Nobody take it, but we should do a Marvel Civil War reenactment, which I'm sure College Humor is shooting right now. And they're like, "We have to have this cut by Wednesday. We have to get this out." So anyway, look forward to that too.
Yes,
and we'll see you all next time after Kyle says goodbye.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the inner tubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at thewaywenerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.